Blog Talk Radio.
Days
like I surrendered. I didn't do what I would pray. Living my life watching the weather, wasting time and chasing fate. I look at the life I'd been designing, waiting around for my breakthrough. But I'm pushing my dreams to the side of me, 'cause they can't love me like you do. I give you my all, I give you my all, and I'm not running anymore. I give you my all, I'm giving you all of me, all of me.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the show. Hopefully you hear me okay. I'm trying to do a test call, but I think because I'm so close to my computer, let me make sure you hear me. I think I'm okay. But welcome to tonight's show. I am your host, Tanisha. Terrence is out. He'll be here shortly, so hopefully he will be back before the show is over. I think he will, but I'm not sure. Today in our area is the first day of school. Things have been a little crazy out in the street. The traffic has been, our traffic out here is always kind of bad, but it's been worse today because it was the first day of school. And There's been a whole lot going on. But thanks for tuning in. Today is August the 9th. It's 2023. The time is 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, thank you for tuning in today and tonight. Very glad for you to be here. I'm excited to be here. I want to talk about some revelation that the Lord gave me earlier. I've been studying the life of John the Baptist, and I'm still going to be studying the life of John the Baptist, but he basically ushered in the ministry of Jesus. And when you study John the Baptist's life, he was very bold, which is the reason why he ended up losing his head, because he spoke out against the leaders of that time. But the Lord told me that we are going to have to be like John the Baptist, those of us who are in the time now that's called to preach and minister and prophesy, and even just regular day-to-day believers who are sharing the gospel and the good news and being an advocate and a representative of Christ. We have to take on that same type of spirit that John the Baptist had, which was bold. Boldness. John the Baptist was bold. Terrence and I were talking about the other day, we're talking about how, like, these kids, what they consider gangsters, right? They think people who are loud or who say certain things are quote unquote gangsters, right? And I told Terrence, I said, one of the if you really want to talk about gangsters, somebody who just does what needs to be done, right? I said John the Baptist was one of the biggest gangsters that ever lived. I said he was bold, and what he said to the, you know, authority at the time, and him boldly proclaiming the ministry of Christ and backing up Christ. So I'm like, these young people have it twisted. Like, being, you know, doing the wrong thing is easy to do. Doing the right thing is hard. Speaking the truth is what's hard. You know, being humble, being meek, those are things that are hard. That it don't make you no gangster to be a loud mouth and beat up people and do all this kind of stuff. John the Baptist was proclaiming the truth, and the truth is what makes people free. But we have to have that same boldness that John the Baptist had in his time, to where he even lost his life on account of the call that God had on his life and the ministry that he had, and saying what needed to be said. And so many people are afraid to say what needs to be said now for fear of being name called. Which, names aren't going to do anything. Who cares what they call you? It's what do you answer to? And if they're lying on your name and all this kind of stuff, God will avenge, and God will advocate for you, and God will stick up for you, and God will make things right. You know, so we have to have a boldness. The world really needs the truth right now. We just see all sorts of stuff that I see like every day. It just feels like a ongoing episode of the Twilight Zone sometimes, or Saturday Night Live skit. I'm like, this can't be life. Like, it's so ridiculously out of control. And it just shows you the need, how people need a shepherd, because they just, when you let people just come up with their own philosophies and their own truths, this is what happens, just chaos. And it just opens like a Pandora's box of madness and stupidity, right? Story of Pandora. It's a Greek mythology, which I don't believe in Greek mythology, but it's a good reference point so that you can understand what somebody means when they have an idiom, which Pandora's box is. But in Greek mythology, Pandora was gifted this box for, I believe it was for her birthday. And it had like all the calamities and troubles of the world. But she was told not to open it, which I don't know why she was gifted it. She was told not to open it. Who doesn't want to open a present on their birthday? But she opens it, right? And all this madness comes out, and she couldn't stop it. That's what, so when people say Pandora's box, that's what they mean. It's like you open something and now you can't stop what's coming out of it. What's coming out is not good stuff. It's all bad stuff. So it's like we're seeing a world like that now, because once you get away from the order of God, now you can't stop it. Because we serve a God. God is a God of order. That's why he has things in place. order. Everything needs order. So when you get out of order, right, now it's broken. Because even if you go places that have things for public use, if they don't work, they put a sign on it that says what? It says out of order, which lets you know that it doesn't work or that it's broken, right? And it's no different than lives and life and living. When things are out of order, they are broken and they don't work. And that's what we're seeing now, where all these things are going into place, all these man-made order, which is really out of order. And so now we're just seeing it's just broken. So now everything's broken because everything relies on something else that relies on something else. And then we're seeing this domino effect of out of order is a domino effect of things not working and things being broken. And now, again, like I said, they've opened this Pandora's box and now they don't know how to put it back because they can't. Because you can't have true order without God. You can't. Because God creates order. God is the one who establishes. He's the creator of all things. And so only the creator can tell you how it's going to work properly. So everything requires God in order for it to have true order. So again, we need to take on the type of spirit that John the Baptist had and just be bold and do what needs to be done and say what needs to be said and not be concerned about what other people are going to do and what other people are going to say. The attacks, they're going to come. But if God be for you, who could be against you? The weapons, they're going to form. But no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Another revelation that God gave me today was he was talking about, let me read you the scripture first. We're going to go to John 14, and we're going to start in verse 11. Believe me, this is Jesus speaking, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the very works themselves, which you have witnessed. Verse 12 says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father. And verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, as my representative, this I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. I need a sip of water. My allergies are flared today. But again, Jesus tells us that anyone who believes in him as Savior will also do the things that he has done and will do even greater things than these. So greater works, right? And when you study the ministry of Jesus, what did he do? Like, what were the works that he did? Like, he healed the sick, right? He opened the eyes of the blind, right? He restored hearing to the deaf. He raised the dead. And so typically when people talk about greater works, they think about those things, right? Oh, greater than, you know, healing the lame and all this kind of stuff. And the revelation God gave me today, he said the greater works are spiritual. He said, will you be able to do the things I did, like actual did? Yes. Yes, the body of Christ will be able to do those things, but the greater works are spiritual. If I can open the eyes of somebody who's spiritually blind, that's a greater work than opening the eyes of somebody that's physically blind, right? Because we know that the physical body is temporary. And God showed us how unimportant the physical body is by even the beating that Jesus received to show that the flesh means nothing. That's not what we focus on. The spirit is what we focus on. So if I can open the eyes of spiritually blind, if I can open the ears of those who are spiritually deaf, if I could create movement in those who are spiritually lame, that's a greater work than something done in just the physical. And God was really revealing that to me today. And I was like, wow, I never thought of that. Because I'm just, when I think about works that he did, I'm just thinking about like the physical things. I wasn't thinking about the spiritual things. You know, I think about like introducing people to him, so that their soul can be saved. But I never thought about the works. And it's so true. You know, so many people, they're deaf, but spiritually deaf to the gospel. They've heard it. They've heard the name Jesus. They know a little something here or something there, but it's like their ear can't pick it up. They don't quite understand. But if I can open those ears so they can hear spiritually, right? If I can open it, now they can receive, right? If a person can't see it, because if you really think about it, you see God and you can see God all around you. The fact that the sun rises and the sun sets every day and the moon, and go outside and look at the stars. That's something I used to do as a child. I knew there was always something. I mean, one, my parents, we weren't raised atheists or anything. We were raised, you know, my parents talked about God, but they never talked about really Jesus. I'd hear that name, but they never really explained anything to us. And we were taught godly principles, like doing unto others as you want done unto you, reaping what you sow and all that kind of stuff. So we were taught godly principles, but we didn't know that came from the Bible. We were just taught that this is, as, you know, decent human beings, this is how you behave and this is how you treat people and so on and so forth. But I remember as a child really having a love of just going outside at night and looking at the moon and looking at the stars and knowing there was something big, knowing there was something out there, knowing that there was something that created me that was bigger than me. There was knowledge beyond what I could see or what I was taught. Like, I knew that. In creation, when you really look at just Earth, right, or even if you like to study outer space, it speaks of the glory of God. So God is like all around us, but yet so many people are blind to see it. They're spiritually blind, and they make these excuses, and they come up with these man-made, you know, truths on why and how it is and all that kind of thing, and they're blind to see God. But if I could open the eyes of somebody who's spiritually blind, that's a greater work than just opening somebody's eyes who's physically blind. If somebody's lame, right, they can't walk. And some people are stuck. Like, there's been times in life where, like, I haven't seen somebody in like a very long time. And then when I see them again and we kind of catch up, nothing has changed. It's like this is stuck in the mud, not moving, not going nowhere. Like, we all know people like that. And I'm not saying like in a just complacent way. I'm saying like they're literally just stuck, and it's not like good. Like, they're stuck in a bad place. They're literally lame. So it's not like their feet are not functioning. They're spiritually lame. Can't walk. Just stuck. If I can cause a person to walk now in the spirit, that's a greater work. So this is what God was giving me today about the greater works that we will do. And this is what we're going to do. It's going to be really focusing on spirit, what we could do for people spiritually. Because if I could cause you to walk now in the spirit, now I can walk you right to the feet of Christ. I could walk you right to the cross. If I can cause you to see, now I can show you Jesus. If I can cause you to hear, now you can hear the word of God and recognize it as the truth. So these are like the greater works. This is some of the greater works that we are going to do. But again, will we do things that Jesus did? Yeah, we'll do things that Jesus did. I believe that. I know it. I know it to be true. I know we're going to even physically do great works. One of the first visions that God showed me I think I was 22. And he showed me all these people. He showed me on the stage. And there was so many people. I don't know how many. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And they were storming the stage. It looked like, I was scared. So I'm like, Lord, what are you showing me? Why are people trying to attack me? Why are they coming at me, trying to rush towards me? He said, because they want you to touch them. And I said, why? He said, because when you touch them, they'll be healed. I did not know nothing about that. Again, I didn't have a background in going to church or nothing. So I didn't even know church things, right? I didn't know about praying in tongues. I didn't know about laying of hands. I didn't know about none of these things because I wasn't raised around them. And even the people that I knew that were believers, they didn't talk about stuff like that. You know, I thought that church people, that's what I would call them, church people. I thought church people went to church on Sunday and listened to messages and read out of a book and sang and ate chicken afterwards and then went home. That was church to me. I didn't know nothing about prophecy and laying of hands and none of that. So when I saw that vision, that was new to me and it was scary. And God broke it down. God told me that. That's what I was seeing. He told me. So I don't believe in people like faith healers and people touching people and being healed because somebody told me that. This is God showing me a vision and explaining to me what was going on in the vision. God himself told me. So that's why I believe it. I mean, I believe it if I were, once I would have read it in the word, but this was how I was introduced to people healing, God's people healing, because God told me that's what I saw. So yeah, we're absolutely going to do works like that. God has been preparing me for that since I became a believer, about healing people and prophesying over people and interpreting people's dreams. And all sorts of stuff. So I know we're going to do the physical things, but some of the greater things we're going to do is spiritual. And I think it's going to be some of the people that we're going to be surprised that will be doing some of those greater works, and people who are very hardened spiritually. Mm-hmm. We're going to see things turn around. So that's what I got earlier. So I just wanted to share that with you all. But before we start answering calls tonight, I do want to pray for our kids. Because, again, our oldest school-age child, he went back to school today. And our littles, they go back to school tomorrow. They're in two different school districts. And Texas is weird like that. You'll have neighboring cities, then the school districts don't have the same schedules. But also, so I want to pray over the students, pray over the children, pray over the schools. We had an unfortunate accident in one of our neighboring school districts. A child was on his way, a 15-year-old boy, he was on his way to school this morning, on his way to football practice. Today was the first day of school, and he got hit by a car and he died. And so, you know, that's kind of like the morning that we had, where that was all over all of our district pages and our community pages and all that kind of stuff. And just keep that family lifted in prayer. Because that's just not something you expect. You know, first day of school, kids are excited, first day of football practice. And he went, left home and went on to glory. You know, the saving grace is the family. From what I could see, it looks like the family are believers. So that is the beauty and the saving grace, but still keep them lifted in prayer, keep that family in prayer. But even at our school, our neighborhood school, because our oldest school-age child is in high school, but we just got a new elementary school that opened, brand new. Today was the first day it opened. When I drove by there the other day, they didn't even have all the playground equipment complete yet because, like, I mean, they were on crunch time trying to get the school. I mean, they literally built the school in less than a year. It was crazy because when they told us, like, they were like, yeah, it's going to open this, you know, upcoming school year. I'm like, what? You just broke ground. Like, how are you going to do that? And, of course, it wasn't without any hiccups. You know, the drop-off lines were long and they lost power. The computers went down. One of the kindergarten classes, the AC went out, so they had a lot of problems. But after school, apparently when it was time to pick the kids up, the computers were down. So some of the parents had been waiting in line for over an hour, and they said it was just chaos. Men in the parking lot yelling at each other, people laying on their horn, people being rude to the staff, causing the staff to cry, teachers to cry, say it was just a mess. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is me prayer. This, none of this is okay. Like, can you imagine the poor kindergartners? You know, their first experience at school and AC goes out, you know, computers go down, all the IT systems. And then after school, just a big ball of chaos. They want their mom and their dad. They're separated from their big siblings. And you see grown-ups yelling at each other, blaring their horns. I'm like, oh my gosh, people, we got to do better, especially believers. We can't be acting like that. We got to do better. But I just want to pray over the teachers and the staff, of course, our students, parents, even just people in the communities, because like with that accident with the 15-year-old, I don't know if it was the driver that wasn't paying attention, the child that was, like, I don't know. We don't know what the cause was. They said the driver did pull over and try to assist, but the boy was already in pretty bad shape, and he was hit pretty hard. So people need to be mindful, especially, you know, once it's back to school. They have to remember there's kids walking, kids, you know, on bikes, kids roller skating, there's kids, just kids, you know, on the street. And even over with us having a new school now, they put some new stop signs so that kids can cross the street and all that kind of stuff. They said people are blowing through the stop sign. And now parents are mad saying they're going to start patrolling and throwing water bottles at people who blow the stop sign. I'm like, okay, that's not going to help. The patrolling would probably help, but not throwing water bottles. And they were serious. They were not saying that in jest. They seriously were saying they're going to throw bottles at people if they catch them blowing through the stop sign. And then some of the middle school, they said some girls that got off the bus and almost literally got hit by a car, people not paying attention. I'm like, man, people are so inconsiderate and just no patience. It's like, we have to do better. But us as believers, we need to be the example. Sorry, my cat came in here and she opened the door. She likes to be in here when we do our shows. We do our shows now in my home office, but we used to do it in our room. But she always, wherever we're at, when we're doing the show, she likes to come in and be around us. So let's pray. Let's do a collective prayer for everybody, no matter if your school started or not. Maybe your kids have already gone back. Maybe they haven't gone back yet. But let's just pray as a body of Christ that we're good examples, and let's just cover everybody. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for this day and this opportunity to touch and agree and come together and bring our requests before you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you are doing. Thank you for just being you. We just love and honor and reverence your name, Lord. We lift your name on high, and we are so grateful that you chose us and that we are alive in such a time to be movers and shakers and to be representatives of you and to be a difference, to make a difference in this world and to show people that there are still people who possess love and truth and want to do right by people. And so, Lord, we just ask that you cover our children in Jesus' name during the school year. Help them to have minds to hear the truth, ears to hear the truth, and things that are not true and that are contrary to your word. Let them be able to immediately recognize it and to dismiss it and reject it in Jesus' name. And we pray for the teachers and the staff, Father God, that they would do what needs to be done by our kids, that they would have a great year, a productive year, and help them to make good decisions concerning materials and what's being taught. Give them a heart to want to teach the truth, not the world truth, but the God truth, which is the truth. Pray for the parents that have patience to treat people with kindness, even when things don't go according to plan, that things happen. And we have to be examples. As parents, we're examples to our kids. We could teach them all day long, but they're going to do what we do. And we have to be mindful that they're watching us. Them and other people's children are watching us, and help us to be good, godly examples and to show our kids, you know, how to respond in the face of adversity or in the face of inconvenience. You know, how do we respond? Help the drivers in the neighborhoods be mindful of these children. some of these children are distracted. They're on their phones or they've got earbuds in. So help the children to be mindful and alert, and help the adults to be mindful and alert. And let's have a safe year. I pray over everyone that's listening to me to cover their neighborhoods, Father God. Send your angels to protect these neighborhoods and these children and these drivers, and so we can have a safe year, a safe, productive year. And Lord, guide the parents on what to do concerning their kids' education and their schooling, what schools to go to, what type of involvement that parents need to have with these schools. They can't just be mad at the curriculum but not voicing their opinions, or not trying to make a change, or not trying to advocate for the right things. Give the parents the direction. It's not on the schools. Too many people are leaving their kids to be trained by these schools, and it's our job as parents to train up these children in the way they should go. That's the call that you've given us. That's the assignment for us. So we don't have the right to then dump it off on somebody else. If they're not lining up, then let the parents come before you and trust you to make decisions on what they need to do with their kids. Some of these kids need to be pulled from some of these schools. Some of these kids maybe need to be homeschooled or charter schooled or private schooled or whatever, or these parents need to go in and demand change in these school systems. But let each person know what they need to do. So, Lord, we just love and honor you, and we pray everything in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Terrence is here. He's at the door. I don't know if he can hear me. Oh, he said he's gonna eat. Okay. he's mouthing to me what he's gonna do, but I can't see him. I've got my glasses on, but I can't see him. All right, let me get my notepad ready. Start answering some calls. Maybe he'll come in while I'm answering calls. He'll chime in. I don't know if you all listened to the show last night that Randy did. Really, really good show. Him and Nicole from DC were talking about like the banking systems and that kind of stuff. I'm gonna have to re-listen to it. But it was really good, and it was, I was just like, my mind was just so wild, because Terrence and I were talking yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about like banking systems and all that kind of stuff and credit systems and this kind of thing. And Terrence was like, yeah, we're made to fight these systems and come out of these systems. And so he's like, we can't like expect them to work for us. And we can't like be in it. And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, you're right. How do we become reliant on a system that we're designed to take down? And it just hit me so hard. I was in the middle of the grocery store, and I'm pretty sure the people around me thought I was a complete nut, because I could not stop laughing. So I'm like, yeah, you can't be reliant. I'm like, to rely on something is to depend on it. I said, how do you be reliant on a system that you're designed to dismantle and take down and not be part of? So it hit me so hard yesterday. And then listening to Randy's show last night, and he's talking about the bank systems and all that kind of stuff, and how there's going to be, you know, it's going to be like a major crash in the banking system. And that's something that we've always known, and he's talked about that before. So if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. Or if you weren't paying attention, maybe you just had it on in the background, go back and listen to it. It was a really good show. I was kind of in and out doing some things last night. So I was listening, but I was like multitasking. And then even today I was listening to it, but man, my allergies have been like on a 10 today. So I got to listen to it again, but it was really good. And it was just confirmation of what Terrence and I had been talking about earlier that day. So I was like, wow. So we got to be prepared for that. We got to be prepared to do things a different way, because a lot of the times, especially those of us who we've been around for a little bit, you know, we're middle-aged, so we're used to things only being a certain way, and we've got to get ready for a new thing, right? Because sometimes when things have been a certain way for so long and then it gets a little off track, we're waiting for it to get back on track. But no, it's just it's a new thing. We got to just be prepared for a new thing and be okay and ready to do a new thing. because God is bringing us as the body of Christ. He's taking us out of systems. Because one thing that the one world government's going to do, they're going to use these systems to control people. And that's how some people are going to fold. You know, they're going to say, oh, if you don't, you know, take this marker, you don't, you know, pledge allegiance to us, and we're going to dry out this, that, this, 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 and this. You know, all these different systems that they're going to use. And so if you're not a part of the system, okay. You know, I don't care what you do. Like, I'm not in that system. God has already provided a way for me to where I don't have to rely on the way you do things. So if I'm not reliant on you, that means I don't depend on you, which means you can't use that against me. You can't hurt me with something that I don't rely on or depend or use. So we got to be ready as a body of Christ to start doing things differently and really just be flowing with God and hearing what he's telling us to do and just doing what he's telling us to do so that we are coming out of that system. Because when they create this new system, this one world system, we're not to be a part of that system. That's not for us to be a part of. Here he comes. There he is. You're right on time.
Give me some music.
I'm going to have to give you some music. But yeah, I was just telling him about how yesterday when we were talking about like the credit systems and stuff, and you were saying how we can't rely on those systems and stuff, how we're supposed to dismantle them, how I was in the middle of the store like a crazy woman laughing because it hit me so hard. Like, yeah, how do we rely on systems we're made to dismantle and not be part of? Like, it hit me so hard because remember, I just could not stop laughing because it was hitting me so hard.
Right.
Okay. Terrence will be right back. But yeah, so when Randy was talking about the banking systems, because I guess Moody's, if you guys follow banking, Moody's had like downgraded, I think it was like 11 banks, and then said six of them were also going to kind of be in trouble or for reconsideration or something like that. Which is, I guess it's a big deal because it was like on, there was a lot of headlines about it, like on different news sources were talking about this change, this change with the banks. So that was right on time to what Terrence and I were talking about, like these systems. So you're going to start to see things changing with these systems. Because again, this we're going to see things change from, you know, different systems, different countries doing different things and all that kind of stuff to one big system. And that's going to be that one world where everything's going to just link up as a way to control people. And God's going to take us out of these systems. So right now, as they're all like little individual type systems, like God is going to get us out of those systems so that when it links up and becomes one big system in the one world government, we're not in those systems anyway. So like I said, just sometimes people are trying to just make the way things are work, but be open to doing a new thing. So I'm going to hook something up.
Yeah, wait. I don't have to sit in front of it.
Oh, okay. All right, Terrence is going to hook up our other microphone thingy.
Reporting live.
And then we'll start answering calls. So I can make sure I hear you.
You can hear me. It's connected.
Oh, okay.
It automatically goes to.
Okay.
It's just my...
Okay. Well, I was going to pull up my notepad because it's just time to start answering calls, so. Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's perfect. I'm going to start with the first caller here. 910-709. Who are we speaking with?
This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hey, Sylvia. How are you tonight?
Great. How are you?
Wonderful.
All right, let's pray for you.
Lord, we thank you for Sylvia tonight, Father God. We thank you for coming into view, emergence, or becoming exposed after being concealed. Emergence, that's what I like. There is an emergence of something, definitely coming into view, something being exposed, you know, when it comes down to things, the way you have it set up in your own head and based off how you've seen others do it. The scripture talks about training up a child in the way that he should go so that he, when he gets older, he won't depart from it. And so it is the teachings, the gospel, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, what children, the way we're supposed to train them up in the way of the Lord. And so that they would yield to the Spirit of God. And so the scripture says to train them up in the way they should go. The Lord brought this to my spirit yesterday, and we discussed it. And God gave me a new revelation on the child. So we train them up in the way of the Lord, because then I think it's in Proverbs where it talks about that when I was a child, I spake as a child, but I became a man, I put away childish things, right? And so in our youth, as children, we are being trained. We're being developed. And what is developing us basically is what we are being exposed to, what is emerging at that time. You know, my mom and dad did things a certain way. Not saying that they did everything correctly. No, not by a long shot. But they were still subject to God's grace just like I am. They still subject to his mercy just like I am. And so the way that I was trained in my youth, right, they gave me Christ. Regardless of the model that was also presented to me, at the same time being presented, Christ. Because there is no perfect model other than Christ. And so, as a child, I spake as a child. So I expected things to be expressed from a child perspective, because that's the way that I could express, because I was a child. And even in our adulthood, we still carry childish ways. And it's not talking about sitting around here, you know, like children, how we just walk around crying, having temper tantrums, or just doing crazy little children things, flipping and rolling on the floor, you know, whatever. Not from their perspective, but mainly from the perspective of the model, the other things, the experiences, the things that were exposed during those times, the things that were concealed out, the negative things
that we saw, and not so even the negative things, but just things in general that set neutral. They didn't have a bad or negative thing. It's just characteristics and things that you pick up based on your environment, the people within your family, within your reach. These are things. And so you could have a way you felt about a family member or something. Growing up, you didn't like them even as a child. And you grew up still not liking them. But that's a childish way. That's a childish way. And so I see God revealing that to you to share. And not only to share, but through the experience, like God is revealing, that's what this emerging is, Sylvia, with you. He's revealing to you the way to separate it, you know, because a lot of us, you know, may have been hurt in our youth, you know. In my youth, I felt like there were times where I was taken advantage of in situations that I've talked about, you know, to this day, and you know, I've expressed it, but I know it has some type of effect on my life. It has had. But when God reveals these things to you, these are things that we have to deal with in order to position ourselves to perform the way God wants us to perform, to be able to live out his will in the earth. So we just thank God for the emergence of God's will. Yes, the new way of thinking, the new way of seeing, the new way of being. Fresh revelation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to our next caller here. 251-229.
Yes, hello. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. How are you tonight?
Hey, Sarah.
Hi. Hi, Prophetess Terrence and Tanisha. How are y'all doing?
Great, great. Good to hear you.
Let's pray for you.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Sarah, Lord. We thank you just for the joy of the Lord being her strength. I think I gave you this word.
That's exactly what I was thinking, joy.
Yeah, I think I gave her that word last week. I'm not sure, but that's what the word is, the joy of the Lord being your strength. And I see you really walking in that, walking in true joy. Let's look up the word joy, because people tend to think joy is one thing. Joy definition. Going to Merriam-Webster because that's my favorite. Joy, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Synonymous with delight, the expression or exhibition of such emotion. The state of happiness or felicity, bliss, a source or cause of delight. Mm-hmm. So I see you. See, that's different than just happiness,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's coming from the inside. Like I like the first meaning, the emotion evoked by well-being, right? Success or good fortune, or by the prospect of processing what one desires. And I also like the expression or exhibition of such emotion, state of happiness or felicity. Like joy is so beyond just being happy,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is where I see you walking in joy. And when people are joyful, like it's almost contagious. Like you could feel when people have joy. It's almost like they wear it, like they're cloaked in joy. And that's what that's the word for you, that the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Again, if we go to that first meaning, success, right? Possessing what one desires. I like that because it says the word says that God will give you the desires of your heart, meaning he places the desires in your heart for you to even want them. And then he gives them to you. because you basically come into agreement with what he wants for your life in the first place. But I see you that coming to pass, those desires of your heart, and the success, right? Well-being. There's something about well-being. Like, people take well-being for granted. That's like good health and your mind being stable and clear and, you know, you being level-headed. Just like I told y'all earlier, how parents was cutting up at our elementary school, making whole grown-ups cry. That's not a person who's operating in well-being. Like, your well-being, you think, you know, you're like, okay, there's these babies here at the school, and this is their first day. I don't want to be that adult ruining somebody's first day because I'm, you know, in a wad because I'm sitting in line. Would I be happy about sitting in line for an hour to pick my kid up? Absolutely not. That would really tick me off. But I would just call Terrence and vent or my sister or somebody. Like, I'm not going to let these kids see me acting a fool because I don't know how to control my emotions. But when you're operating in well-being, you could be level-headed like that. So I see that, like, you having that well-being, that total well-being, that you know, having what you desire, and you wearing it, like, people be able to, like, sense it on you, like, man, there's something about her. It's like, she's always joyful, you know, she's like jolly. I've been around people like that, where when you get around them, you feel good. They don't even have to say nothing. They just possess a joy that's like, it's contagious. It's like when people sneeze and then you get to sneezing, how it's contagious. People yawn and then you start yawning, you know, it's like that joy is contagious. And that's what's gonna make you strong. So Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to our next caller. Pull back up my notepad. Make sure I get everybody. 919-292. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, this is Shaquella from North Carolina.
Hey, Shaquella, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Doing great. Let's pray for you.
Doing well.
Okay.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Shaquella. Father God, we thank you for the extra push, the extra strength that you are revealing to her. Lord, teach you basically how to go like the extra mile, you know. Sometimes it like the extra mile can become your normal to where where extra becomes the normal, is always far beyond the average, you know, like God is going to teach you how to do like the extra without the sorrow, without the burden, without all the pressure. He's going to teach you how to do more have more, be able to do more, like in less time, more efficiently, which will surpass the average or what seems to be superior in the eyes of others. So that man could see the glory of God, like is like the blessings that's coming your way is for the glory of God. Like, you're going to benefit for his glory, like, period. Because you're going to tell it. You're going to tell of his goodness, to where, like, the things that's the ways he's going to present things to where people are going to ask their question. Like, Shaquella, how? They're like, girl, what you, this is nothing but the Lord. And they're going to give an ear to you. They're going to give an ear to you. So the Lord is saying, be confident in him. That's what it is to truly be confident in the Lord. Like, to really know him.
when you know something works, you have a confidence in it. We get out here and hop in our vehicles every day. And we don't go on our apps and place orders because of the reviews, because of the track record, the history, you know. But when you look at the reviews of our Savior, when I open up the scriptures, you say that he gave his life so that I might live. And a lot of people bear witness to that. There were a lot of reviews, and still to this day, people are still talking about how good the Lord is and how merciful and how kind and how great, just everything that they could physically explain in a way about God, they are sharing it. And that's what God is wanting you to do. Tell of his goodness. Tell of his mercy. Tell of his loving kindness. And he going to position you to be able to tell it to where you ain't got no choice but to tell it. Lord, we just thank you for the abundance of wealth that you are positioning and opening Sequoia up for, to build the confidence to tell of your goodness, to get people to your feet so their souls will be saved. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next is 405-779. Who's speaking with?
Hello, this is Lucretia. How are y'all?
Good. How are you, Lucretia?
I'm doing pretty good.
Just pretty good. I'll take tolerable too.
All right, let's pray for you, Lucretia. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Lucretia and for the war cry. The war cry. Look that up. I think I know what it is, but I'm not going to assume. So there's a call made to rally soldiers for battle or to gather together participants in a campaign. Battle cry, rallying cry, war whoop. I like war whoop. I like that. But Lord, we thank you for the war cry that Lucretia's spirit has set off to bring ministering angels, to bring people. I see God fighting your battles. I see you really understanding what it means for God to fight your battles, Lucretia, because it's like your spirit has let out a war cry. So now you've got the ministering angels, you've got the warring angels. Terrence and I were just talking about angels the other day, and I was telling him how there's different ones. God has given me the privilege to see angels in the spirit. And, you know, you see all these paintings of angels, and they always are so beautiful, the very soft faces with the wings and all that. And the first time I saw angels, that God opened my eyes to see angels, they had zero wings. They looked like soldiers. They were male. They looked like, if you ever study like statues, like the Roman or Greek statues of how the warriors looked, very muscular and beautiful with the armor. That's how they looked, but they were huge. Like they were like the size of buildings in width and in height. No wings. They had this magnificent armor, and they were all shoulder to shoulder. That was the first time I saw angels. I have saw angels with wings before too, but these battle ones, they did not have wings. But they looked like they meant business. They were scary looking, but beautiful at the same time. But there was no winning. And it's like I see you letting out, like your spirit has let out a battle cry, and these angels, these war angels are coming. Ain't nobody gonna beat them. And so when we turn our battles over to God to fight, there's no losing. Because battle literally, it's not your battle. It's not your fight. You've turned it over to the Lord. Like, here, Lord, you deal with this battle. He's going to fight the battle for you. And like the word says, if God be for you, who could be against you? It's laughable. It's a joke. But we have to believe that, because the devil is going to try to trip you up. He's going to try to intimidate you. He's going to try to make it seem, he's going to hype himself up, just like this recent fight, right, with Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. You know, we're Terrence and I, we like boxing. Terrence is, of course, more of a boxing fan than me, but I love boxing too, the sport. I've always watched boxing even as a child. Our house was the boxing house when all the big matches would come on. But I like both boxers. I like Errol Spence. I like Terrence Crawford. But just knowing the sport, I knew Terrence Crawford was the better fighter. So I was going for Crawford. But Spence is more hyped up. He's more like a celebrity boxer. You know, everybody, especially in Texas, they love Errol Spence. And rightfully so. But people were like really like, you know, like, oh, he's a big fish and he just that, you know, it's shark season. And they was like hyping him up. And he got his butt tore up. It didn't even look like a fight. Like, for a fight, there's a chance for both opponents, right? This did not look like a chance. This was a pummeling. That's not a fight. The fight, again, there's a chance for either party to win. This was a pummeling.
Mm.
That's not a fight. And so it's like when God fights your battles, the enemy tries to, like, Errol Spence you, like, hype himself all up, try to get in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watched, you know, how this thing unfolded, you could tell that the things that people were saying, the fans, even with the fighters' camps were saying, it never affected Terrence Crawford. It never got into his head. He always believed from the beginning that he was going to win. He mm-hmm. never deviated from that. He never alluded to him losing. Like, you know, it was never a may the best fighter win. It was, I'm going to win. That we're both great fighters, but I'm going to win.
Okay.
I'm just the better fighter. He never, you know, patty caked with the idea of losing, ever, even though people were trying to, like, you know, get into his head. And so just know, Lucretia, that you are going to win, because that's what the enemy's going to try to do. Like, I'm bigger, I'm badder, I'm better, I got more people, this, any other. No. You have to know you're going to win. Yeah. You have to know that you're going to win. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And I know how that feels. I know how it feels when you're fighting a battle and sometimes it feels like you lose it, but you're not. So, Lord, we just thank you for Lucretia. We thank you for the battle cry. We thank you, Father God, that you don't leave us alone to fight our battles, that you send whatever reinforcements are needed. You send it, you supply, because your word says that you supply all of our needs. And all of our needs are all of our needs. It doesn't matter if the need is financial or spiritual, or if we need some backup, that you supply those needs. So we thank you for the victory. We thank you for her just knowing that she already has the victory.
Mm-hmm.
We come against any lies of the enemy, any lying tongues that try to trip her up or try to get into her head to try to make her believe something different and make her start, because when you believe different, you talk different. So give her the confidence to just speak confidently. So and let her not get shaken up, Lord, no matter what it's looking like. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you got Terrence Crawford that day. Like I said, you never saw him saying, oh, look, well, hopefully the better. Nah, it was, yeah, I respect him. He's a good fighter, but I'm winning, period. And that's just what it is, and that's what happened. Like I said, it wasn't a fight. It was a pummeling. There's a difference. All right, next caller is 754-255. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, guys. This is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey, Donald and Tanya.
Hey, what's up, Donald, Tanya?
How are you guys?
Hanging on in here.
No snoring tonight, huh?
Nah, no snoring. I'm wide awake.
Hey. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We all have.
I told them last week.
I know Terrence Fields.
Man, I've been there. Just You know, you just resting in the spirit, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's it, man. You just at peace. That's all.
Yeah.
You got my son even laughing.
Wow. I'm telling you, it's good to hear from y'all, man. Let's pray.
Let's pray for you.
Wow. All right. I got scripture. There's a scripture for you. There's a scripture for you, my friend. Let me get the scripture for you. All right. Okay. This is it. It was actually today, Philippians. Philippians 4. Okay. It says Philippians 4:8. I'm gonna read King James. It's finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Not the God of turmoil, not the God of confusion. The God of peace shall be with you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The God of peace be with you. He tells us to think on these things. Think on these things. These are the things I want you to think on, Donald. Thus says the Lord, the things that are true. Think on what's honest. I got your mind focused on what's just. Yeah, you get disgusted when you see things that's not pure, because that's what I want you thinking on. The things that are lovely, so you easily can recognize the hate. The things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we're going to look for some truth and we're going to worship that truth, it better be these things. If we're looking to have that power, and we're looking to give God the praise, we got to think on these things. And so, Father, we thank you for the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. I really see like the mind of Christ, like a light bulb on you. It's like your spiritual mind is glowing at a higher wattage, at a higher wattage. Like God is revealing things to you, Donald, and it's for what's to come because of the people. God made all of us unique. God made all of us unique. It's like basically he was talking, like God be giving me stuff during the day when we share sometimes, but I never know like when it's gonna come up again. But I thought I was gonna talk about it on my podcast, but it's actually for you. The Lord gave me you are a key. Like all of us are keys. We hold the key that's going to unlock something in the lives of others. Yeah, I'm getting more revelation now. And when you look at keys, you can lay keys down. They can all look similar, but each one has a unique cut. And just like all of us, God made us in his image and after his likeness, but he made all of us with a specific cut. You know, that's why we all have different fingerprints. We have a uniqueness about us, because we were designed for a particular work here in the earth. We were designed to unlock a particular lock that's designed for us based on the cut that we are made for. You know, how God made you, what the things that he presents to you, you are the key. You are what's going to be used to unlock those doors in these people's lives. But God is putting you in these places so that you can release him to do the unlocking. Release him to do the unlocking. So when opposition comes to you and they want to lie, you, the Lord is telling you, think on the things that are true. You know what's true. Think on that. Don't worry about folks lying on you. They did it. They did it on me. They did it to me. I gave my life for that. You good. I'm telling you what to think on. I'm telling you how to condition your mind. I'm telling you how to make your mind fit to follow Christ. Fit for discipleship. You know, we have to work our minds out. Our minds, man, I'm telling you, like, my mind right now, if I could just expose my brain, you know, in a mind-building competition, that brain-building competition, I would win, you know, because I think that my brain physique is all right. Because God has shown me how to think, and I can walk in confidence, knowing that because I think this way, I'm okay, I'm good. I can boast in the Lord with this. I can show you this because this is what I know. Like when lies come in, think on what's true. Think on what's honest. Think on what's just, because there are situations where we may not want certain things to happen to people, but just because it happens to them doesn't mean that it wasn't just. There are a lot of unfair things to us in our eyes. But we have to look at it from God's perspective. It has to be just. And so these are the things this is the mindset that God wants you to focus to really get in. And he got me pulling. He got you pulling on me tonight. He wants you to understand this, to understand it. Yes, and seal it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Seal it in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Tanya, Father God. We just thank you for the I saw like a strawberry, like a fruit. Like a fruit bursting, like with flavor, a birthing of fruit. Like a new birthing of something. I know, no time you think I'm just saying with look, it don't necessarily mean that it's something physical. You know what I mean? But I just see a new birthing. It could be ideas, you know, a new birthing of a relation, anything, you know, but a birthing of something, a deliverance of something, a new birth, a better understanding. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for the nurturing. And God, when God gives you something, of course, you're already equipped to take care of it. We just have to believe that he's provided us with it. We have to just believe what God said and just do what he says do. Really kind of like literally autopilot when it comes down to hearing the voice of God and just obeying it. Like, I gotta go. Like, I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit speaks, I listen. And the Holy Spirit says do. That's what I do, and I and I see they're developing like more keen and more sensitive in these times. Don't be surprised, you know. I don't know how big your circle is, but you know, it's gonna, you know, don't be surprised, fall off, you know. But people was once there and said they was gonna do certain things, it has nothing to do with you. God isolates you when he wants to develop you. Mm-hmm. He gets you by yourself. And he removes people, you know, so that you can hear him. He removes the noise, the chatter. And the noise and chatter comes with, like, you know, feeling obligated, the responsibility. People crowding your time in your space. You know, these minutes that we're talking right now and the Lord has me sharing, we ain't getting these back. We ain't getting these back. And so the significance of time, God is really going to, like, increase the desire, like the taste. Like, you're going to develop a very horrible taste for wasted time. Like, well, people ain't talking about nothing. You know, like, why are you here type? You know, because God is going to have you so keen to you when you know what you are supposed to be doing, and you're focused on it. You're focused on it, and anything that's in opposition to that and kind of creating barriers and just in the way, you know, it begins to crowd you, because it's time to expand, you know? It expand. And we just thank you, Lord, for that word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's a good word.
You got anything you can add?
When you were saying the birthing, I thought of ideas too.
Yeah.
Like, it came to my mind with ideas, because, you know, you
start hearing birthday. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I know Donald probably passed out.
Wait a minute.
If you had that line on me, you would have heard too.
Next caller, 610-969.
I ain't putting him to sleep.
I hope not. You there, 610-969?
That's Lisa.
Is it Lisa? Yeah, I think so. Maybe she's got us on mute. Or maybe she'll come back and listen to it. Let's pray for her. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Lisa, Lord. We thank you for the love, her really feeling the love of God, her really feeling the favor. And I thank you, Father God, for her, her heart really being your heart. It's like I see y'all, your heart, Lisa, and God's heart, the heartbeat matching, beating the same rhythm. You really picking up the heart of God. Because, you know, sometimes we're people. So we have this layer of flesh that we're fighting, layer of emotions and all sorts of things that we're fighting. But I really see you being able to get to the heart of matters, having the same heart of God. And even being able to see people differently, people that you never thought you'd see differently, but seeing them because taking on the heart of God and seeing through the layers of seeing past, rather, the layers of human emotion and just humanity, mm-hmm. and being able to just see the heart of things. So in the way God sees it. So we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You got anything?
Pray for Dante. Lord, that he faces the fears, the fears. We come against the spirit of fear. Like the spirit of fear can really come and confuse you. It'll have you afraid of absolutely nothing, you know, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And Satan will have you afraid of nothing to be afraid of. And so I see Dante coming into like really seeing that it's going to get to a point to where he'll understand that what he was afraid of didn't need to be afraid of, and what he needed to be afraid of, he should have been. So, like the understanding of knowing that the fear of the Lord, the reverential fear, you know, the serving fear of the Lord, it's his strength, and he's going to see that. But when people choose things, there are, you know, when we choose to do certain things, the consequences follow these particular things. But God is still God. And God is still available to us wherever we are. It doesn't matter where we are. You know, he will be there. You open up to him, he'll be there. But he's going to understand that the fear of the Lord, the real, to know to fear the Lord, to know that and understand that that's the path, like, the path to victory. And that's what I got in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, next caller is 504-282. Who is speaking? You there,
504-282?
Who is that? Let's pray for him. Lord, we thank you for 504-282. We thank you, Lord, for the pathways of of wealth. See the Lord showing you what true wealth is and carving out a path for you. So, Lord, we thank you for the obedience on the pathways that you create and set for them to obtain wealth, true wealth, not just financial wealth, but wealth in all areas, spiritual wealth, wealth of mind, wealth of friendship, right? Because you got a good circle of friends, you know, that produces a sort of type of wealth, because you have people who, you know, you might have some that are wise and some that are good with strategy, so on and so forth. So I see God creating pathways of wealth for you, true wealth. So just be obedient and do what God tells you to do. And have the confidence in God. You don't have to have confidence in yourself because we know we can mess things up, but have confidence in God. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 225-270. Hey, I know who that is.
Jacqueline.
Hey, Jacqueline, how are you?
All right.
Right.
Let's pray for you.
Lord, we thank you for Jacqueline tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the stretch, going down the stretch, like the stretch, like when you're almost there, the home stretch. I like to see horse races, and I like to see when they turn in their corner to come down home stretch. They've been running for a minute, you know. They've been running, and they've been running at a high speed. But it's something about when the finish line comes in view. They don't. The jockeys really get to motivating that horse to kick into the next gear, to the next level of horsepower down the home stretch, because the finish line is at the end and we want to win We want to win, so we got to get down the home stretch. And I see you been in that corner. And the spirit, that down the home stretch. And be not weary and well-doing, but in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Mm-hmm. So when you hit the home stretch and you feeling tired, that's the time to kick it up a notch, because you're going to be tired regardless. I might as well be tired when I finish. I don't need to quit and be tired. If I'm still going to be tired, I'd rather be tired and finish. And I hear the Lord telling you just to complete, go through, push, because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Surrender it all to Christ and cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And that's what I got in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go next caller.
How many more is it? You know what the time it is.
There's two more. 760-567, who are we speaking with?
Hello, my name is Jessica, and I'm located in California.
Hey, Jessica, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling in. Let's pray for you. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jessica, Lord. We thank you for giving her the ability to know and have confidence that things that will happen for her will not happen in the usual ways. Ooh, this is a good word. This is like how Terrence and I operate. Thank you, Lord, that she just has the confidence to know that she can trust you no matter what. Jessica, it's like Terrence and I, again, this is the word Terrence and I have got before. And it's literally been our lives. Things are unorthodox, right? So it might be for you to obtain a business license or a house or whatever. And these are, we know what the usual path is, but the way God's going to do it for you is not going to be the usual path. So just have confidence in that. So if God says, okay, we're going to do it this way, and then it don't look like it's going to happen this way, still believe it. Because he will do things in an unusual way for you. You know, that's kind of been the story of our lives together. Things have been unorthodox. Things don't go the way they normally go. Even when it comes to, like, let's say, typically something happens and it's something negative, right? We're like, oh, that's not going to happen with us, and it doesn't. So just like know that things that's going to happen for you is not going to happen in the usual way. Like some people might say, oh, take the path on the right because that's the easiest one. Because if you take the one on the left, you might get ate alive, because most people that take that path, it don't work for them. And then God says, take the path on the left. Wow. And then it'll work for you. But it don't work for nobody else. Everybody else gets, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. You know, they just never see it again. But for you, it will work. So, but just trust God. Trust God, and don't worry about the systems or the usual ways, because that's not your story. That doesn't apply to you. If God says it, it's just going to happen for you, period. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for her trusting in you. We thank you for Jessica's faith, just getting and rising to new levels to believe you for things, so that she's breaking out of the usual way of thinking, or the logical way of thinking, that you're breaking her out of that, and that she's just going to be walking by faith, like truly walking by faith, not by sight, and not by knowledge even. Because sometimes our knowledge will trip us up, because we're like, oh, no, you got to have this to have that. Nah, sometimes our knowledge will trip us up, and our knowledge will be in direct, you know, opposition of our faith. So, Lord, thank you for her walking in faith fully. And let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next, 608-960.
Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Shannon. How are you tonight?
Good.
Awesome. Let's pray for you.
Lord, we thank you for Shannon tonight, Father God. We thank you for repositioning, like taking a another view. I don't know if you shoot guns or anything, but hopefully you should. You would. But when you know, sometimes when you're shooting, the gun and you got your sight set, sometimes you have to kind of get off of sight to readjust your view, to get the sight right, to get it lined up where you want it, okay? And so you have an opportunity now to get the sight readjustment so that you can hit the target, okay? Hitting the target where it needs to be hit, you know, because you've had the target in view, but your aim wasn't quite right, and God is telling you now your aim is proper because he's making these adjustments that you need to adjust your focus, to readjust your focus. And so that the readjusting of your focus helps you literally hit the target. And now you're in the season to hit the target. And so God is saying, you know, continue to be confident, you know, in him. Don't fear, don't doubt. And just be mindful and know that there are things specifically detailed just for Shannon,
mm-hmm.
designed just for Shannon, tailor made just for Shannon, because it doesn't take much, you know, for you, you know, it doesn't take much for you to live. You know, it doesn't require a whole bunch for you to have, you know, to be relaxed. But God is bringing in that extra that's needed. You know, he knows everything that you need. He knows what you want. He put those desires there for you. But he's readjusting your focus and teaching you how to focus so you can hit the target. And because everything is there. Everything that God has for you has already been prepared, and it's just the adjustments that's needed during this time, and it's all going to be worth it. Everything prior to it will be worth it because it's a story. It's something God wants you to get out of it because of what is prepared for you. He's preparing you for what's to come. So we have to go through these experiences. We have to go through these times where it seems like things are dry, where it seems like I'm missing, but I can see the target. It's right in my view. Yeah. You got to adjust your sight. And so God's just teaching you how to make those adjustments so that you can hit the target. And we just thank you for that being done in your life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Another one. Oh, I guess we dropped off. All right. Well, that's everybody. Thank
Amen.
You all for calling in. Be sure to call back at 8:45 into Randy's show. The number is going to be 319-527-6737. Call in 5 minutes, hit one, typically on Wednesdays after Randy gives his message. He prays over everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we love you all. Good night.
Good night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thunder was out there. Yeah, it looks like a mine. Oh. Yeah, now it's 76 people.
Yeah, man, it's 92.
Oh.